Most of the attention focused on the Veterans Affairs Department in the last couple of years has had to do with firing people, giving VA more flexibility to demote or get rid of people who perform poorly. But now a bill looks at something a little more positive, how to recruit and hire top talent at VA. Tim McManus, the Vice President for Education at the Partnership for Public Service, has studied this bill and joins me now with analysis. Well, Tim, tell us about H.R. 5526.
So, Tom, the legislation is really designed to strengthen processes by which the VA recruits, hires, and retains talent. And so, again, I think, as you mentioned in the opening, a lot of focus has been on how do you remove talent. This one is really focused on the other end of the spectrum, ensuring that VA is actually being able to recruit talent, hire talent, and retain the great talent that they already have there.
And what are the main provisions in the bill that would allow VA to do this or enable it to?
Yeah, so there are a number of different provisions in the bill. A couple of them that, as I look at the bill, seem to actually have a great deal of resonance, at least to me, and some of the challenges that I know VA is facing, and in fact, some other agencies are facing as well. And to some extent, Tom, H.R. 5526 may be a little bit of a runway or a trial case for seeing how this works with VA and potentially broader civil service reform. So one is actually expanding the market pay for senior executives in key medical positions. What that really gets down to, Tom, is that clearly for physicians and other key medical positions within the VA, part of the lure to get folks to join the VA is to have a competitive salary and competitive benefits and everything else that goes along with that. So again, one of the components is actually looking at what market pay for top physicians, nurses, other healthcare professionals is trying to bring VA salaries in line with that.
So this would not put people under Title 38, but just give them those levels of salaries?
It's still under Title 38, but again, looking at within that, probably expanding the scope of Title 38, and again, going a little bit more toward market-based pay. And as I said earlier, I think, you know, if in fact this bill goes through, clearly the implementation guidance and regulations that follow will spell that out a little bit more, but I think there are some really interesting things as it relates to some other really key mission-critical occupations, not only within VA, but government as a whole.
What else is in the bill?
So that's one. The second is allowing reemployment of high-performing former VA employees at any grade at which they qualify. And again, what this is really designed to do is there are people at VA and other agencies in the private sector and the nonprofit sector who at some point in time leave that organization, go on, and may in fact have a desire to come back. The challenge with that in government and at VA in this case is that when they come back, statute actually says that they can be hired at the grade level where they were when they left. So you could leave at a GS-13, have another 10 or 15 or 20 years of experience, but if you come back, you're still only qualified at the GS-12.
You never grow up when you leave the VA.
Yeah, exactly. And again, some of the provisions in this bill actually apply not only to VA, but any other federal agency as well. So this would actually allow for you, based on that experience that you gained after you left VA, to come back at the grade level that you'd be qualified at, not the grade level that you actually left at. So that's another really key component in my estimation. One of the other components, which actually seems like a no-brainer, but I think, you know, we've talked about it before, is just training and education for VA's HR and human capital staff. And I'd actually say that at some point that probably needs to be extended to hiring managers as well on the recruitment, retention, hiring tools that are available to them as well, so that they fully understand what can be done. Whenever there's change that's going through, you know, people tend to know what they've dealt with and what they've followed for years. There is going to have to be some training around all of this to make sure that they're well-equipped, know the full range of tools that they've got at their disposal.
We're speaking with Tim McManus, Vice President for Education at the Partnership for Public Service, and this is bipartisan support for this particular piece of legislation.
Bipartisan support right now, and again, I think, you know, really, really interesting stuff. Tom, one of the other things that this actually does as well, particularly on the recruitment side of things, when you're looking at bringing in new talent, is it allows VA to better utilize internships as part of their entry-level talent. And one of the ways that it does that is expands the Pathways Conversion Authority for internships to include individuals who are engaged in either volunteer internships and or third-party internships. So right now, those folks are not covered by the Pathways internships from a conversion authority perspective that would be expanded for VA. And again, you know, we often talk about some false barriers in terms of the way that we look at interns. If you're a third-party intern, in other words, somebody being placed by a third-party organization into an agency or a volunteer intern, you may be doing the same work as a Pathways paid intern, but you actually don't have the same conversion authority. So this legislation seeks to remedy that piece as well.
And do we know whether this legislation was backed and maybe some of the ideas in it suggested by VA management?
You know, ultimately, I don't know for sure, Tom, but I think ultimately, you know, the VA is, like many agencies, are having a hard time, particularly filling some of their mission-critical roles. I would be surprised if this were not something that VA leadership was actually supporting and in favor of doing.
I mean, if I was a top-notch medical practitioner in some field or a well-known administrator, given all the publicity and stories and hearings over the past couple of years, I wouldn't go near that agency with a 10-foot pole.
So, you know, Tom, that's actually a really interesting comment, and I think to some extent that's probably true. Yet one of the things that's actually really, really interesting is if you look at the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey for the individuals at VA and the Best Places to Work scores, better than 91% of the VA employees think that the work they do is really important. Almost 95% of the VA employees are saying that they're willing to put in the extra effort that's needed to get the job done. So clearly their satisfaction is actually quite high with the type of work that they're doing, and they're at least with their commitment. So we've got really committed folks right now. How do you capitalize on that? One of the challenges, and I think this bill is really designed to address, is less than 45% of the employees actually believe that their work unit, in other words, their specific office or their work unit, is able to recruit people with the right skills. And what that means is they're not, because either, you know, there's a number of different things. There's pay that's in play. There may be training and development opportunities that are in play. And I think clearly some of the issues around just overall morale as well. Part of the way that you can actually look at that as well, and I learned this a long time ago when a former employee of mine was looking at an agency, and I said, why would you ever want to go to that agency? They're rated near the dead last of our best places to work in the federal government rankings. And she said, why? Because I can actually help make it a better agency. I think that's actually one of the things that VA's leadership actually has to kind of call on folks to do is, here's an opportunity for you to actually make the VA a world-class health organization for our veterans. And I think that's actually, again, appealing to that mission, and I think that actually would resonate with a lot of folks.
And I guess it's fair to say, we should say, that in some locations and in some fields, VA is a world-class healthcare organization for veterans.
Absolutely. And I think, again, already is in a lot of different areas, you know, but in order to continue that ascent and meet the increased demands as well, VA has really got a tough job on their hands to actually get the talent that they need to get the work done.
Tim McManus is Vice President for Education at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for that insight.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.